Hello, all. Good to be here with you tonight. I know it's a little stuffy in here, but by God's grace, it's not so many people, so we got a little elbow room tonight, a little air circulation. So if you turn with me to the book of Jonah, And throughout the evening, if the Lord leads you to pray for all those that are traveling. I know there's a couple that called us. Their car broke down and they have to go through the whole car rental thing. So, you know, it's just the way it goes when you're driving to hear the word of God. And before I get to the book of Jonah, I'm just going to go quickly to Romans chapter 15. And before we do that, I'll just open up with a word of prayer again. Heavenly Father, thank you for this weekend. Thank you for Greenwood. Thank you for a place just to get away from the world and all its noises, Lord, all its interruptions, Lord, and just fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, being joyful of our salvation, what you have done at the cross. Bless the conversations that we'll have, Lord God, throughout the weekend with one another. May it be filled with a sense of wonder for what the Lord has done for us. Pray for the reading of your word. Pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray even now, Lord God, that as the weekend goes forward, Lord God, as I speak, Lord God, that I would hide behind the cross and that you, Lord Jesus, would be all that we see. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 reads this way. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, we look at the Old Testament, and many of us, as we're growing in the Lord, I know I didn't, when I first started walking with the Lord, it was very difficult for me to read the Old Testament. I mean, I read it because I know you had to, but it was hard. It was difficult because I didn't understand much of what was in it. And then you had other voices in the other side of your ear saying, well, that's for the Old Testament. That's not for believers anymore. That's just, you know, the law and stuff, and you really don't have to know that. Nothing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible becomes alive when we look at it from Genesis to Revelation and seek for Christ in the Scriptures. When you're looking for Jesus in the Scriptures, you're going to find him. He's everywhere. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation, you're going to find Christ in the Scriptures. But you need to look. You need to study. You need to look at the Word of God with, a focus that you want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Jonah is no stranger to this. We look at the book of Jonah, and Jonah, there's a couple of ways you can look at that book. It has a poetic flavor, if you will, about the nation of Israel. Where the nation of Israel was to be a testimony to the entire world of the love and of the grace of God. But in many instances, they decided to keep that recognition of God, the one, only, true God, to themselves and not share it with the Gentile world, sort of speak. And they found themselves in trouble time after time after time. The fish representing, the great fish representing the nations of the world seemed to have surrounded and encompassed the nation of Israel round about. And it is those times when they were surrounded by the Gentile nations and enslaved, they cried out to the Lord. The Lord gave them a mission, and from time to time we see the sweetness of the fellowship of Israel and God, where Israel would do what God told them to do and they would be blessing. We won't go into the whole Israel relationship situation with the book of Jonah. this weekend, we're going to cover lessons from the book of Jonah for the church. Lessons from the book of Jonah from the church. And I'm going to read a couple of verses from the beginning of every chapter here in the book of Jonah so that we can introduce the topic for this weekend. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish," listen, "from the presence of the Lord." Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Then Jonah," after he was in the fish, "prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, 'I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me.'" Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.' So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey." And then we read chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 4, verse 1. "And God saw their works," the works of repentance, "that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them," the Ninevites, "and he did it not." And then you find this verse. Strange. "But it displeased Jonah." Jonah was upset that an entire nation got saved. But not just upset. And Jonah was, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was furious. We really need to study that out. Could that happen to you? Could that happen to me? Can we really not want someone to get saved? Well, it depends how you look at it. And we're going to go through that this weekend too. So in chapter 1, we have Jonah running from God. In chapter 2, we have Jonah running to God. In chapter 3, we have Jonah running with God. And in chapter 4, we have Jonah trying to run God. And so there is a lot of information here for you and for me. Be careful lest we think, poor Jonah, a prophet of the Lord behaving this way. Tisk, tisk. We need to be very careful that we don't look at Jonah as if we haven't looked for a Tarshish of our own. As if we haven't refused to go to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Let's be careful not to quickly judge this situation without leaving here this weekend and saying, is that me? Can I be a Jonah? Is it possible? I think that by the time the weekend is over, we're going to realize that it can be possible, not only possible, but very possible. And on Monday, we'll look at where Jonah is after all was said and done. Jonah was sitting and waiting. I would like to say that he was sitting and waiting on the Lord. That wasn't the case. I guess he was, but he wasn't waiting on the Lord to do what you think you and I might think he would do, to bless the nation of Nineveh. He was waiting for their destruction. He said it'll only be a matter of time before they mess up again. And he was just waiting. The Word of God calls that the seat of the scornful. Where are we sitting is what we're going to find out on Monday before we leave. And hopefully we're sitting in the right place under the tutelage of the Word of God, under an expectancy that the cross of Christ would do something here for you. If you're here this weekend, and maybe you've walked away from the Lord for some time, chapter 2 is for you. It's time to pray. Is it possible that a prodigal who's been away from God for some time can be used by God? You bet. You bet. As long as you have a heartbeat, you can be used for the cross of Christ. Do not let yourself, others, or the devil tell you that you are useless for the kingdom of God. Now, if you're not born again, that's quite another story. But that can be remedied quite quickly too. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose again on the third day, the Bible doesn't say you might be saved. The Bible doesn't say that if you do this or do that, maybe we'll discuss it and you might be saved. The Bible doesn't say, well, if everybody around you thinks you're saved, maybe you are saved. It says you shall be saved. Being born again is not difficult. Religion makes it difficult. And then when you do get saved, you get purpose. I've never had more purpose in my life than the day after I was born again. I knew what I was in this world to do. I was to glorify God. I just wanted to talk about Jesus. That's what I wanted to do. Chase people down the street to talk about Jesus. I just wanted to talk about Jesus. For the first time in my life, I knew the trajectory. I knew what I was going to do to the day that I died. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And this weekend, I pray that you would join us as we talk about Jesus, because we're going to talk about Jesus, not just Jonah. For instance, when we look at the introduction of Jonah, he's a prophet. What is a prophet? Well, a priest talks to God on behalf of whom? Well, the people. A prophet talks to the people on behalf of God. To walk away from such a privilege that someone here would have heard from the living God to give me a message of repentance and salvation, and to walk away from that opportunity, from that blessing, from that great commandment of God, is to miss out on the very reason why we are born again. I am thankful that my prophet, priest, and king was nothing like this. He preached to Israel. He preached to the world. He preached to the lost. He ate with them. He ate with sinners. He didn't have a bone of bigotry in his body, one of love and of compassion and of mercy. It's why each and every one of us are sitting here at Greenwood Hills this weekend. Because of what Jesus Christ did for our undeserving hearts. You gotta love him. You gotta be joyful. Because no matter what this world would do to you, and it can do a lot. I mean, the Ninevites must have been some nasty people. And they were, historically speaking. In a way, I don't blame Jonah. When you read the book of Nahum, chapter 3, specific, and it'll tell you, they were just a bloodthirsty people. They tripped over carcasses and corpses, and it was just death everywhere they went. And they enjoyed it. And you gotta understand a little bit where Jonah was coming from. But you know, we don't get to pick and choose whom we give the gospel to. The church wasn't assigned to analyze who is worthy of the message and who is not worthy of the message, because the church is saturated with those that were not worthy of the message. And there's Jesus. There's Jesus saving the undeserving. You look at a story like the story of Jonah and you just thank the Lord. The Lord Jesus did say, did he not? Not my will, but thine be done. He asked God if there was another way. Then he said, not my will, but thine will be done. Isn't it a wonderful thing that he didn't look on us and he didn't come down here because of who we were? He came down to this earth in spite of who we were. For the love of his Father, he died on the cross for the undeserving. I thank God that my prophet, priest, and king was nothing like this, that he was nothing like us. We do. There's this sense of religious bigotry sometimes. I've done it. Where, you know, these guys aren't going to listen. That's the last person in the world you want to preach to. I can see that guy's heart a mile away, as if that's truth. It's not truth. You don't know. It could be the nastiest drug-dealing, drug-addict, homicidal maniac in prison. Who cares? They can be saved, and it is our job to take them that message. I heard a message by a brother this weekend at Grace. And the brother was talking about the direction of God. How do you know? I mean, it could be something as, you know, simple as, you know, what job am I going to take? Or, you know, there's a career change, or should we move to one from one place to another? What assembly are we going to go to? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of decisions that we make as believers. How do you know when you're in the will of the Lord? He says even the greatest of prophets and Paul made certain turns sometimes that wasn't according to God's will. But he turned them right back. You're going to find this in the book of Jonah. Jonah went the opposite direction in which God wanted him to go. From the presence of the Lord? How does a prophet think that way? But it just goes to show you, when we're not doing God's will, one of the very first signs is that we're unreasonable. We're not in our right mind. Something is awry with your heart, with your soul, with your thinking process. You're not thinking biblically. There's something the matter, that what you're doing is not making any sense. And if you're that obtuse, where you can't even see that, and you do go the direction in which God doesn't want you to go to, you better be prepared for the storms that await you. If you go to Tarshish and God wants you to go to Nineveh, you can swim to Tarshish as fast as you can. You can spend the next two decades trying to get to Tarshish. You will go to Nineveh. If that is the will for your life, you would get there. Why would you want to waste so much time in your life going a direction that God never told you to go, when eventually you're going to get where he wants you to be? Even if that means the day you die and go to heaven. That was the intention to begin with. You're missing out on blessings And you're going to end up being surrounded by that which you do not want to be surrounded with. And at the end of it all, you will do God's will, because His will is perfect. His will is good. He has the greatest intentions for your life and for my life. But it's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about the Ninevites. Try to follow what I'm saying. It's about those that God wants you to talk to. Not just in word. Not just preaching a message. But in life. Indeed. This world is looking for joy. This world is looking for hope. This world is looking for something. You know what I saw in the Ninevites in the book of Jonah? They were ready. I mean, they were so ripe for the taking. Jonah didn't say many words, did he? And everybody just started covering themselves in sackcloth, and the king all the way on down to the peasant. How does that happen? God. That's how it happens. You never know when you're going to lead one to Christ or 1,000. It really doesn't matter. As long as that's where God wants you to go. Many of us, Tarshish can be a lot of things. Tarshish could be career. Tarshish could be hobby, sports, children. Dare I even say ministry life? You could be running away from something. You know what He wants you to do. But you're just going to have your own way. We can try that. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm telling you, you're going to waste a lot of time. I know. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Then threw it away too. So, go to Nineveh. It's where you belong. When you're not going and self-will begins to kick in, there are clear warning signs. Look at Jonah running from God. God has given him a clear word where to go and what to do and why. He said, go to Nineveh, preach against it, because they're wicked. Go to the world, give them the gospel, because they're sinners on their way to hell. It's not hard, the message. It's owning the message. And doing what we're told is hard. Why? It's the flesh. Our self-will. That's not for me. I'm not an evangelist, or I'm not a preacher or a teacher, or I don't know the word of God. Well, it's in front of you. You know, you could just read a Bible. And I'm not trying to be facetious, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm saying that we'll invent just about any reason not to give somebody the gospel. And if for unbelievers, they'll do anything not to believe the message. Oh, they'll fill themselves up. Instead of reading this simplistic, you know, spirit-filled, God will reveal it to you, 66 books in a book. They'll read volumes and volumes and volumes of philosophies and all kinds of different things just to veer away from the truth. But they won't read this. They'll run and they'll run and they'll run. God will catch up to you sooner or later. He can be your Lord or He can be your judge. But that's a decision that the unbeliever has to make now. But you can help. Some people, like the Ninevites, they didn't need much apologetics, theological schooling. They just needed a nudge. They just needed a word from the Lord. That's all they needed. And you're it. You're the mouthpiece of God here on earth. Isn't that an honor? I mean, think about that. God, who created the entire universe, wants you, and you can fill your name in there if you like, to give a message of hope, of eternal salvation, of love, of compassion, of grace to a lost and dying world, desperately looking for hope. Trying. I mean, you only need to look at the evidence. $1 billion industry, the psychotropic drug industry. Why? Because they don't feel right. You want to know why they don't feel right? I think you know, but that's the equivalent of me driving a car, and when the check engine light goes on, well, in my ingenuity and skill, I go right under the dashboard and I just cut the light bulb. Problem over, right? Until I keep driving, eventually the car will stop. Why? I ignored the warning sign that something was desperately wrong. The heart is designed by God with a lot of flashing signs on the dashboard. You will know when something's wrong. You're lacking hope. You're lacking joy. You're suffering from severe anxiety. You're concerned about tomorrow. You have no purpose in life. You have all these existential issues in your mind and in your heart. Those are all warning signs that you need Jesus Christ. You need direction in your life. You need to visit with the designer of your soul, your mind, and your body. And you need to listen to him. You need to listen to the message of the gospel. All those flashing lights will turn off. And you will find joy. And you will find hope in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. All you have to do is listen to the word. Listen to the gospel. Do as God told you to do. For the unbeliever, the command is easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Painters paint. Teachers teach. Builders build. What do believers do? Believe. All you got to do is believe with a certainty that what you're told is true. The gospel is true. Believe it and you will be saved. Don't run to Tarshish. It has zero for you. If God did not tell you to go there, that means there's nothing for you there. Now Tarshish, by the way, was a very rich and affluent place. It had minerals. It had gold. There was a lot of good things in Tarshish. The only thing it was missing was the will of the Lord. That means that it was bankrupt. At least for Jonah it was. Nineveh, that nasty place with those nasty people doing those nasty things, was the best that God had for Jonah. And he ran the other direction. I mean, from a human perspective, you kind of get it. God can't possibly want me to go there. Why? Because that's where sinners dwell? Yeah. Yeah, he does want you to go there. Nineveh is the world around us. And God has not only put us here, but when we got saved, we stayed here. What does that mean? That means God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. God has a purpose for the body that he's left behind, called the church. To light this world up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be a part of that. Why run? Why run? This is where God wants you to be. You know what God wants you to do. Jesus made it clear. Go into all the world. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teaching. Preaching. Leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tarshish has got nothing for you. So whatever Tarshish is in your life, turn around. Turn the other way and go the way that God wants you to do. The Bible calls it repentance. Repent from running. And God will use you mightily. One of the things in verse 4 that Jonah saw immediately after he made a conscious decision to run the other way is that the Lord is intimately involved in all the issues of his servant's life. God created a great wind. God prepared a fish. God prepared a gourd, and God got rid of the gourd. Whether you're in his will or not, don't make no mistake about it. You've never, will never be able to flee from the presence of the Lord. He will do what he has to do, and he's intimately involved in your life, whether you're running away from him or towards him. God is in control. You better thank him for that. And I do. There are times when I go the wrong way and I get on my knees and after repenting, thank you, God, for not letting me make such a horrible mistake. Thank you that I didn't run any more than I had to. Thank you that you stopped me before I got too far. I thank God for the fish. Whatever that fish may be for you and for me, I thank God that the fish brought me where I needed to be. I pray that this weekend, as we look at the book of Jonah, that you would embrace the teachings that he has for you. There are going to be many, and let us remember in the way of review, chapter 1 will be running from God. Chapter 2 will be running to God. Chapter 3 will be running with God, and chapter 4 is not pretty. Running God. Trying to squeeze God into your will. And not the other way around. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. And I want to lift up this weekend to you in the book of Jonah. I pray that you would use your servant to communicate the life of the believer, the disobedient, the obedient, the hard times and the good times, and all the things that we go through in between, to communicate that you are a God who cares too much to let us run in our own direction for long. We're so grateful to you that you're our Father. We're so thankful for what your Son has done. We thank you for teachings like once saved, always saved. Eternal life is just that, eternal. And you're not just going to let your children wander off wherever we feel like it. You are there. I pray for the Jonas that are here this weekend, that have run from you. And think of chapter 1, it's completely and utterly prayerless. What a horrible place to be. Running and not communing with you. I pray, Lord God, that we would learn, that we would grow, that you would speak to the heart that needs to be spoken to here this weekend, that you would change our trajectory, our direction, to go where you want us to go. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.